Thank you. Well, as we go here this morning, we've talked about moms. We've been honoring moms. We've been praying for moms. I want to preach about moms, or for moms, or to moms, or to us this morning. Some things I found this week as we think about the Word of God and we think about mothers and motherhood. I found Barna has come out. Some of you maybe follow Barna and his research. Sometimes you get it on the internet, and Barna is a kind of a Christian researcher, and he asked the questions: teens one-on-one with various household members. Teens one-on-one with various household members, and you can guess it. The household member that teens generally connect with the most is who? Mom. Question after question. You know, we eat meals together. Mom's number one. We watch TV or movies together. Mom's number one. We have fun fun together. Mom's number one. We talk about God and faith. Mom's number one. We exchange text messages or emails. Mom's number one. That's a good one there nowadays. Okay, we pray together. Mom's number one. We confront each other. Moms are number one. We call each other on the phone. That's not mom's number one. That's grandparents. Grandparents. Because grandparents are still, you know, we're probably not too much tech savvy, so we still let it ring. All right, I am talking to my kids or my grandkids. But if we stop and we think about that, but here's an interesting thought here in regards to interacting on social media. It's siblings is number one. That's probably true. Playing sports together, siblings, but dads is number two. But something I saw here that was very interesting in this past week as I studied this a little bit and looked at it in regards to this mother and child interaction, as you look at it there, for giving advice, we find that moms are number one, but number two and number three, or actually two that are tied, are dads and grandparents. Dads and grandparents. I found that to be interesting. Mom was still number one, but dads and grandparents were tied for that spot. Sympathy, mom's number one. Money, dads. Okay. That was dads. Logistical help, that was dad's too, okay? But what's interesting is I found something else here when it comes to the Bible. Moms were number one, but guess who was number two? Grandparents. In this day and age with teenagers, grandparents are the number two source and talking to kids, the teenagers, about the Bible. I thought, you know, we've got some grandparents in here. I'm a poppy too. And I found that to be interesting in regards to that. You can guess this one. What about politics? As dads. Okay. Dads was number one. They beat moms and everything in that. But then there were some other ones here that I found to be interesting that all of a sudden, wow. And a teen said, encourages me to go to church. Mom was number one. And we find grandparents were number two. Grandparents were number two. Encourages me in other ways. Moms were still number one. But grandparents were number two. Okay. Talks with me about God's forgiveness. Moms were number one, but grandparents were number two in this survey by Barna. Teaches me about the Bible. Moms were number one. Grandparents were number two. Teaches me about tradition. Grandparents were number one. And when we stop and we think about what's our next generation learning and where are they getting their information from, I think that's interesting to see in regards to the research. There is something that's got to be said about moms, and we know that about moms, that there's the Word of God confronts that and confirms it in regards to the influence of a mother. But for us to understand also that sometimes we think as grandparents, boy, and we do say this, man, I'm glad my kids are having the babies and not me. Wow. But, you know, when you do something like that, you know, we say that, but it's interesting to stop and to realize from his research in regards to Christian, this is in regards to Christian homes too. I should have specified that earlier. In regards to Christian homes, the amount of influence that grandparents yet you can still have with the teenagers, your grandkids. And I think that's important, but moms, they're number one, and I think that we have to keep that in mind. Moms are number one, and that's important. I believe that's the way God ordained it to be in many, many regards. In studying for this past week, I was going, you know, you kind of read and think a lot of things, and I read a short blog, and I read a short article, and it was called The Theology of Motherhood. It was written by a professor at Southern Baptist College in the South, and I saw that, and it got my attention, and I read it for a bit. And as I read it for a bit, I went a little bit further, and I thought, wow. And as I read through, all of a sudden, my mind started to work off of his information, and I started to go in a different direction with some thoughts here this day. And as I think about that, I wanted to go that direction. And as you see on your outline this morning, let's go ahead, a biblical theology of motherhood. A biblical theology of motherhood. And you start to say, wow, what's going on here? That sounds pretty, you know. How many of us think of a theology of motherhood? Now, when I say that, theology itself, the word theology, means the study of God. But it has the secondary meaning, and we talk about the idea of systematic theology. We talk about this doctrines of the Bible that we trace through the Bible. We follow through the Bible. And this is what this is here. It's a belief, a set of beliefs, a set of theory or belief that we are systematically going to develop. If we are going to establish a biblical theology of motherhood, we want to see how motherhood in its part, in its plot of the Bible, interacted with every other aspect of the Word of God. You know, as we watch motherhood, and those, again, I share this week that those that watched the movie and saw the movie Unplanned, we saw how that one regional director looked at motherhood, and she kind of scorned the gal who was going to have a baby and was going to marry a man and all those types of things, and they scorned that. And yet for us to stop and to realize, you know, dads and grandpas, we turn around and I don't think motherhood has never received the emphasis that it deserves. You know, dads, how many of us, as we remember when the kids were little, and mom said, I need to get a break. And so, okay, I'll watch the kids. And by the time about 3 hours had rolled around, we were saying, when is she going to come home? And now we text them, oh, where are you at? And things of that sort. Because we as dads, we don't get it sometimes. And we think, wow, man, that's a long 3 hours. And we do our 3 hours, we do our 4 hours, our 5 hours, whatever. And then we walk away and say, okay, mom's home, see you later. And we don't process that any further. And I think that's a struggle we have in our as men. We focus on the front, and we see it right there, and then we don't process it any further. And yet, I've had the opportunity and the privilege to be around home a lot more sometimes in the early days of the church here, being in my own home, studying from my own home, to stop and to see what a mother does 24 hours a day. I couldn't do it. To realize what moms do in regards to the care and the nurturing and the patience and the disciplining and the sharing. And, you know, we guys, I did my job. I helped her out this week. She got to go out with the girls for a few days, for a few hours. Now it's okay. No, what about the 168 hours that they go through this every week? And I think sometimes we get so short-sighted in regards to the amount of pressure and the amount of work it takes to be a mom. And our world has kind of looked at that and said, you know, you don't have to go that way. That's not all that big a deal. biblical theology says it's a great big deal. And when we stop and we think about this idea, I was kind of thinking about the idea also of, if I asked you a question, what do you believe is the major theme of the Bible? Now, there would be a few thoughts here, but I think we could come to a consensus. I've heard people talk about the red thread of redemption from the Old Testament to the New Testament. People will talk about the idea of redemption or salvation. And I thought, and I think to myself, if we would think about a major, if they said, let's take the Bible and all the teachings of the Bible, and we bring it down to one point, it would come down to the idea of Jesus Christ coming to this earth, dying for man's sin, and providing salvation for mankind. I think we'd all agree on that. But as I studied that out and I thought about it, and I saw one thought and just started to spark my mind in regards to that, and in your outline there today, as we stop and we think about that, it's kind of like we can look at it and we get into a new car, and you know, if you got the new keys that are in the car there, you just kind of put the key in your pocket. It's there, and all you do is walk up to the car, and man, the doors will open and ready to go. And then you jump in and you just push a button and you're ready to go down the road. And you know, you do stuff like that. And we just stop and say, but how much work did it take to get that car on the road so I could do that? How many people were involved, or what took place to get that car to that point that I just kind of jump and go, oh, there it is. And there's our short-sightedness again. All the engineering, all the design, all the different components that come together to make that car work. We push the button, goes, oh, wow. If we put gas in it, we keep oil in it, I got it. No. All that takes place, the same with motherhood and the same with Scripture. We look at the big picture of redemption and we stop and we say, yeah, love my Lord. But how did that happen? Motherhood. Motherhood. Let me show you this morning as we go through this. As we stop and we think about this idea of this plan of Scripture, these are big ideas today. You know, we're going from the beginning to the end of the Bible in many regards, and we're going to go to different spots here. But if we think of that big plan of the Bible here today, I'm not going to, you know, bear down on the small things. Big thoughts, big ideas is this. As you look at this, only through motherhood could God's decrees to mankind be fulfilled. What do I mean by that? If you want to follow along this morning, I'm going to go and take you some verses, and you can write this down. I didn't give you room. I just put the big thought there. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Go to Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 27. And I put down the word decree. I could have used the word command, but the word decree is one of those things that God says, and it doesn't change, ever. And so I put that down there. Only through motherhood could God's decree for man be fulfilled. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, and here's the decree, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God gave Adam and Eve in the garden a decree that didn't stay in the garden. It's a decree that continues this day. And that decree is by God is this. Populate the planet. Populate the planet. And the only way we populate the planet is through moms. Through mothers. Male, female. God could have done something differently. But he didn't. And when you and I stop and we think about Mother's Day, and our world takes Mother's Day and begins to kind of yeah, it's kind of nice, and let's sell some flowers, and let's get her some candy, and things of this sort. Wait a minute. Let's look at the importance that God placed in scriptures about moms. And number one, as you look at the very beginning, is this, that God decreed. He commanded and decreed to be fruitful and multiply, and it doesn't happen without mothers. And when God laid this plan out from the beginning of time, we begin to see a theology of motherhood that is developed through the scriptures. We have a lot of other things that happen out there nowadays. But even with those who cannot reproduce, surrogate mothers, it's still a mom. And when God created it all and began it all, the importance that He laid upon the ladies and the women of our world and upon the mothers of our creation was this: fulfill my decree. Now, we know that some ladies cannot have babies, and there are some that can, and we'll look at that thought a little bit later. But as a rank and file and as a whole, as our society has tried to take this role of motherhood and downplay it and stop and say, you stand strong, be your own. God said, I'm going to tell you something. My redemption through motherhood. My redemption through motherhood. And we'll see it in a moment, but could it have been done some other way? He could have done it some other way, but that was not His desire. And so as we look at this thought here this morning and we kind of go through some of these major thoughts here today, these big pictures of Scripture, I think it's good for us to stop and realize what God said in regards to motherhood and to moms and how important He placed, the importance He placed upon that thought. Go with me this morning to Genesis 3 and verse 15. Just flip over a page. If you got your Bible, go to Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15. Number two, through only through motherhood is Satan defeated. Only through motherhood is Satan defeated. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15. As we read that verse here, the Lord's curse, there's the curse that's taking place there. There's a curse upon the serpent. There's a curse upon the ground. There's a change in regards to the way men and women were going to react and relate to one another. And the Lord said, God Himself said to Eve, He says, I will put this enmity between thee, her, or the serpent and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, what's happening here is God, when He laid it out, and we look at this, and we'll see this a little bit later. Here's Eve, and let's accept it. Let's not make it any worse than it is, any better than what it is. Let's accept that she was deceived, and we'll talk about that in just a few moments also. But what did God turn around and do immediately after that? He said, through Eve, not Adam, through Eve, Satan's head would be bruised, or some of your Bibles may have the term crushed. He can bruise a heel, he can bruise a head. Which one's going to cause a whole lot more problems? The head. And when we stop and we think of God's redemptive plan in regards to this world, He didn't go to Adam and say, okay, Adam, because of your seed, Satan is going to be destroyed and Satan is going to be crushed. He said to Eve, because of what has transpired, it's going to be through you that this world and those in this world that you bring into this world as you follow my decrees will have victory over Satan. That's not something that you hear from Planned Parenthood or from the rank and file of our nation out there when it comes to the women's liberation movement. But God said this. He said, Eve through your seed. And generally in the scripture, it's the seed of the man. But in this situation, and from the very get-go, he said, through motherhood, I will give the world victory over the great adversary, the great accuser of the brethren. The world will get victory from motherhood. In Revelation chapter 12, when you see this happening in Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 15, if you want to go, you're at the first book of the Bible, go to the last book of the Bible quickly, Revelation chapter 12. Go back to the very last book of the Bible, Revelation in chapter 12, and verse number 1. There appeared in verse number 1 in Revelation 12, there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And we know if you look at the symbolism, understand we're talking about the nation of Israel, but the picture's here. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew a third of the stars of the heaven, and he did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God into his throne. And as we stop and we see this battle that's taking place, and in verse number 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And the picture that's found in Revelation and the story that we find in the picture that's found in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15, prophesied by God himself, was the fact that motherhood was going to produce that victory over Satan. Now we're going to see the production and what took place. But God used moms. God used moms. And you stop and you say, oh, man, I wish I could have been that mom. Because you're a part of the group, you're a female. There is association with that. And you having children and you rearing children gives you that opportunity and that ability to also see that happen. And victory over Satan, if your child comes to know the Lord as a person, as his personal or her personal Savior, that victory that takes place. But God said, here's how it's going to happen. It's going to happen through a mom. I stop and think, wow. And as our world tries to deprecate mothers, we better step back and get a theology about moms and motherhood that gives them the glory and honor that's due their role. God answered Satan's defiance and disobedience with the obedient submission of a woman who does what God made her to do, helping her husband to multiply, to fulfill, to subdue the earth. And she does that by bearing children. By means of motherhood, God answers Satan's boasts with a baby's cry through motherhood. It's that component that takes this redemption of the world and made it happen. And made it happen. And so we see this. Let's go on. Let's go on here this morning. Only through motherhood was the messianic line preserved. Only through motherhood was the messianic line preserved. What do I mean by that? If you start to trace it out through Scripture, you can see how God used people and in genealogies and families and clans and all that to begin a process through the Scripture. And how did that take place? God didn't take people and just plunk them down in the middle and say, okay, now you're going to do it. No, he took a mother who birthed a child. And from that child birthed another marriage. And there's another child birth. And we begin to see this messianic line. Now, why is that important? Because what we see in Scripture, in Genesis chapter 12, I'm not going to have you turn there at this moment, but let's stop and think Abraham. What is it about Abraham? What did God say about Abraham? He says, through you, I'm going to bless all the nations of the earth. Through Abraham specifically, or through the wives that produced children? It was through the moms. It was through the moms. And here we have some moms that were barren at that time, and moms that couldn't have babies initially, as we see that and we study that in Scripture. But it was through Abraham initially that all the nations of the world be blessed. And we've talked about that before in here, how that I believe that God has blessed our nation because we've been friendly to Israel and Abraham, the father of that nation. But what had to happen was God promised, and Satan was always there trying to thwart those promises and interfere with those promises. And you find Abraham in Deuteronomy chapter 18, and you can write these things down here this morning and go back and study it out. But in Deuteronomy in chapter 18, we read about Moses. And God promised the nation of Israel in regards to Moses. In verse 15, 18, 15, and the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me. Moses is talking. God was going to raise up a prophet like him from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. Just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God or see his great fire anymore, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, they are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command them. And what do we find here? We have, again, this prophecy that God said, Moses, as you are a picture, there's going to be one who's going to come along, I'm going to raise up. And he preserved the messianic line. How? Through mothers. Through moms. Being moms and having another child and another child. And the next generation had moms who had children. And this was important, this messianic line, the anointed one. We find that promise again to David in 2 Samuel. And you can just write it down, 2 Samuel chapter 7, starting with verse number 12. When the Lord said to David, I will take through your line one who will be the ruler of the nation of Israel. Well, so here's David, what? 1000 BC, he's king. And God promises David at that time, he says, you know, there's going to be one coming one day, and that line had to be preserved. And how was it preserved? Through moms. One mother after the next. And when you study those lines out and you read those stories and all the people that were involved and the mother had a baby and we think of that baby and then we think of the name of the person that was involved and we see those things beginning to happen. The messianic line was preserved not through dads. It was preserved through moms. Preserved through moms. Isaiah 11 verse 1 says, out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot, yea, a new branch, capital B, bearing fruit from the old root, preserving the messianic line. Jeremiah says the same thing. And in Luke chapter 1 and verse 31, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, this angel speaking to Mary, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. And this time there was no man involved. Only the Holy Spirit, but through motherhood. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. Jehovah is salvation. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give him unto him the throne of his father David. How was that line preserved? Motherhood. Motherhood. And we like our leadership roles, dads. Sometimes we don't assume them very much. But it was only through mothers that the messianic line had to be preserved generation after generation after generation after generation until the Messiah was born. And that takes us to the next point. Only through motherhood was salvation brought to mankind. Only through motherhood was salvation brought to mankind. Galatians 4 and verse number 4 says this, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under a law, under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Isn't that interesting? And you think about that. We are God's children, but we were not born that way. We were born again, but we are looked at as being adopted. God had to take biological moms, one after the other, getting to Mary. And finally we get to Mary, and Mary is now carrying the Christ herself, the Messiah in her womb. And it was through Mary that the salvation was brought to mankind. It was through motherhood. Through motherhood. Matthew 1:21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Peter says in Acts 4 and verse 10, "Be it known unto all you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." Raised a man, healed a man there at that point. "This is the stone which has been set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Salvation came through motherhood. And as we stop, and again, we downplay women, and we cling to Bibles and guns and all that kind of foolishness that's out there. Guess what? I cling to my Bible because that takes a woman and that takes a mother and puts her exactly where she's supposed to be. Exalted and glorified in the sight of God to bring through a woman, bring through a mother, salvation. Salvation. And when we take a nation and we take prayer and we take Bible reading out of school, what do we get? We try to make things look important. We try to do, "Oh, you're special and special." Now, let's go back to the Bible and see what God, the creator of the universe, had to say to moms. To moms. Only through you. The next thought. Through motherhood, the position of women was exalted. Through motherhood, the position of women was exalted. If you would do with me this morning, go with me to 1 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Let's go over there for just a moment. This is one I want you to look at just for a moment for some understanding. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15. You know, we watched this past week, and many people have watched that movie now, and the movie Unplanned, and you know, that's just nothing. That's just tissue. That's this. Whoa, 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 whoa. There's an exaltation here. And what's happening here in 1 Timothy, and some people, man, some people really squirm at this portion of Scripture. And our world has a real problem with it, and we as Christians, and because of political correctness, we squirm at this portion of Scripture also. But you know, let's talk about what God had to say here and what Paul had to write here in regards to this. In verse number 15, it says, "Notwithstanding, she shall be saved or delivered through childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety." Now, that, you go, whoa, what's going on here? What are we talking about? This is not a salvation. A woman, because she has a baby, is automatically saved. This verse number 15, and we have to put it in a little bit of a context, is a verse of encouragement on the heels of verse number 13 and 14. Look at 13 and 14. "For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression." And go, oh no, here we go. I'm not a chauvinist, and neither should anybody in this room be a chauvinist. But what happened was Eve was deceived by Satan. We understand that. What if God at that moment would have said to Eve, "Okay, you blew it. Adam, it's all on you. Redemption is coming through you. Adam, you're going to have babies now." And some of you ladies go, "I wish a man would have a baby." All right? "Adam, it's all going to happen through you." Where would that have really left women at that moment? I blew it, and there's no reconciliation. What did God do? He said, yeah, I know you blew it. But because of the ability to bear children, there's redemption. And as we look at this portion of Scripture here, and women had to have to deal with that over and over and over again. No, but it's the biblical portion and the biblical understanding that elevates women. The raising of a godly seed here. As we look at this here, we do know that through Mary, the Savior came to be delivered through childbearing here. And it's she, initially, was Eve, but it says, if they, the they is a plural, meaning all women. And all women that can bear children, that can to have children, have a sense of providing a redemption to the next generation. When that mom sits down with that child at her on her lap and begins to read those stories from the Bible and begins to pray for that baby and prays with that baby, what's she doing? The training that she has, and the statistics show that over and over and over again, this role of motherhood has a redeeming value. And yeah, we know what Eve did, and we like to beat Eve up with that. And the wrong kind of guys beat Eve up in the wrong kind of way, too, if these guys are chauvinists. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. But God took Eve and then said, okay, yeah, I understand. But through the children you bear, there's a redemption. And then he says to all women, he says, and ladies, there's faith, and there's love, and there's holiness, and there's self-control. And to find that to be a part of all this, God doesn't want all women to be mothers. 1 Corinthians 7 tells us that. There are some with the gift of singleness. And there are some ladies that are allowed by God to be barren. And I wish I knew that answer. I don't know that answer. But some ladies can't have babies. But what does God do? God doesn't have a baby, but he adopts his son. And all of us begin given adoption. And there are some ladies that are barren. But you know what? From the very beginning, because of collective identification, she's a female. She identifies with women. And the group of ladies identify together. And how many, we guys, we kind of run the other direction. When a group of ladies are together and there's a new young lady there that's pregnant or going to have a baby soon, and all the stories about birthing come out. And we guys go the other direction. But you know what? She's delivered through. And she has the next generation. And there is a sense of exaltation and a sense of deliverance and a sense of redemption because of motherhood. And our world scoffs at our moms. And God looks at it and says, wow, what's going on? Only through motherhood is there a climactic relationship for eternity. Turn to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation 19, last book of the Bible again. Revelation 19 and verse number 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of the God. Of God, and I fell down at his feet and I worshiped him. And what's happening here? You have motherhood again. We've got the Lamb. Who's the Lamb symbolic of? Jesus Christ. How does he arrive at that position? Through motherhood, the birth of Mary. And then you have the bride, which represents what? All of those who know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. How do all of us get here on this planet? Through moms. And because of that theology of motherhood, it provides the path for an eternal relationship that we don't have any idea what it's going to be like. But it's going to be so glorious and so good and so loving and so majestic and so profound. And Paul says, I can't explain it. And Paul said he's caught up in the third heaven. He said, I heard things and I can't tell you what it's going to be like. But one day it's going to be so glorious. Why? You had a mom. And our Savior had a mom. And if we accept the Messiah, that we'll have that relationship, that eternal relationship also. And as we stop and we think about this, I think, you know, as I was meditating upon this and thinking about this, there's the bottom line. Where would we be without mothers? Where would we be without mothers? This was God's way of bringing redemption to this world. He could have done something different, no doubt. You know, you could have had the Messiah all of a sudden, like, come down from the heavens in the whole world. Now, that's going to happen someday in the book of Revelation. We see the tribulation, and Jesus is going to be in the heavens, and the whole world's going to see him at that point, and they're going to run, they're going to cry, and have the rocks and the caves to fall upon him and hide him from the face of who he is. But he didn't work it that way at that time. He brought Mary along, and through Mary's motherhood, he brought our Redeemer. And through moms, our Scripture takes the Word of God and takes the mothers in the process of birth and the process of labor and the process of a man and a woman coming together to be fruitful and multiply and fulfill the decrees of God would never happen without our mothers. And I think it's important for us, as we hear sometimes the world around us and we find the world kind of stopping and saying in certain regards, you know, that's not a big deal. Oh man, it's the biggest deal. God developed a whole system through his Scriptures using mothers. And you and I are blessed recipients of God's plan. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this day. And we do thank you, Lord, for the moms that are here, the moms that aren't here. We thank you, Father, for the things we've learned and the things maybe we didn't learn. But to realize as we look at Scripture and we look at the world around us, to understand what you really did with this concept of motherhood. And may we see the glories of it as found in Scripture. And never, never fall prey to the thought it's something less than best. To realize the best you offered came through motherhood. And may we, Father, keep that always in mind. This morning, Lord, maybe there's someone here who is yet to accept the Messiah, the Anointed One, the one who came through the line of Mary and through her seed and became that salvation for all the world, the one to be believed in for eternal life. And if they haven't responded to that, today would they? Father, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking around. Have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And if you haven't, slip your hand up and put it down. We'll talk to you after the message here and share with you how you can know him as your Savior, but to realize he came through a woman, through motherhood. Anyone. Believers today, just hopefully this is encouraging to your mind. as we think about how God desired to use mothers in His redemptive purposes for this planet and for this world. And so, Father, this day, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for the things that we can learn and how You did and laid the plan out from the very beginning. Thanking You, Lord, for the moms that You've given us. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen.